Here we go. To it.
We're in. This is our new thing. Things are just too close.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing a toast of Southern Comfort.
Oh, yeah.
In honor of our special guest this evening.
Michael Moose Miller is in the house. Well, he's not in the house yet.
Hopefully he's in the city.
Yeah, hopefully
and he's on his way to the
subway because he hasn't texted or emailed us in the last few minutes, but we think he'll be here.
This is good. I haven't had Southern Comfort since high school.
Well, you probably, no one really realized. I didn't take the sip. Hold on, I got to take a sip.
Mikey.
Wow, that's like,
it's good,
Jesus,
right?
What is this?
Like, I don't know. It's a cocktail. It tastes like a Manhattan.
So, yeah, like, what is this?
So
sweet.
Little do we know that Southern Comfort's really Manhattan.
No wonder Brian Zucker.
That was Evan Zucker.
Well, the reason that we have Southern Comfort here is, many of you may not know this. I mean,
we'll get into it.
This is going to be a topic, but this is why Moose got kicked out of Camp Swago. Moose, we were inters. And
first year seniors.
It was,
get your facts together, boy.
All right, it's close. We were first year seniors, right? First year seniors, and I guess we wanted to drink, and Moose was ready and willing to go down and buy us a fifth or whatever, probably that same size as that thing is, right?
I guess.
I
remember
don't think
different,
so.
Different.
That
no, that looks bigger, and it had different label. It was black. This the label that we're looking at here is white.
I was a little taken aback by that.
Yeah, a little remarketing.
Yeah, so he bought us the liquor, and how many of us, five or six of us, went back?
A bunch of us, and they had like a shot, and that was all you needed back then was a shot of liquor, and you were like, woo, you know?
Well, Evan
Zucker lit up. I think he did three or four shots.
He got whacked out.
I mean, it was like he took the brown acid.
He was freaking his balls off. Right? And he just went nuts, and it was to the point where, you know, it had to come to the attention of the counselors and everybody.
But there was a long decision making. I mean, he was out of his mind. He was hallucinating.
It was crazy.
He was thinking people were other people,
right.
And, you know, it was flipping out. So it got to the point where everyone was really nervous that something was odd. You know, maybe his body somehow was allergic to alcohol.
Do you remember where we drank the Southern Comfort?
I don't. I remember, ironically, being by the ski slope.
It wasn't. We drank it up behind the golf course by in the woods there towards the shooting range.
Okay.
By the place where Aaron Shea, where
Omori,
one
of those guys in the white V-necks.
Yeah, do you remember how they used to wear white V-necks?
They
it's
all,
kind of crazy.
They
those
all
are the old guys.
I don't know. With the white V-necks and the long sort of denim jeans with the keys.
They weren't into the crew neck. They knew in advance that if
they
wanted to be cool, you had to wear a V-neck.
They were 35 years ahead of their time.
They were at 70. They were really fucking ahead of all together.
You know, maybe they're still around now to appreciate their
I hope you listen. Omori, Marty.
Aaron.
Aaron, if you're listening. If you're alive. If you're listening.
We got to have them on if they are. We'll have to have all three of them on at the same time.
They're going
to
call in.
I don't think they are.
They're going to call in from Boca.
if they are alive, the odds of that being the case would be at least 50%.
It would be, listen, I hope they're alive, but.
Do you think they are?
No.
I think Maury is not.
Is Marty? Have we heard of Marty dying?
I haven't heard of Marty.
No, Marty's alive. Why are we talking this way? Aaron Shea, I don't know.
Speculation.
I mean, he seemed like he was really old when I was a kid. So.
Right, right.
Since I'm an adult, I'm pushing 40 almost,
right,
50
right.
almost.
We're lucky to be here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so. Right.
Anyway.
I wish them the best.
Yeah, they've been good guys. I wasn't quite.
Whoa. How much interaction did you have with Aaron Shea to tell me he was a good guy?
He drove me.
I'm sure he was a good guy. That's not my point, but.
I don't know. What did he do?
He
drove the van.
Guy.
He was a tennis
guy.
Was he the instructor? Or
I think in his day he was the instructor.
All
I
right.
think that's what his was. His wife? Who was his wife? Was she the one? Who was?
I don't know.
Oh, that was Sheila Leibowitz. That was the Leibowitz.
Yeah.
Parents.
Well, who was Mr. Leibowitz?
He was home. I don't know if the Leibowitz boys are listening. In,
you know, yeah. Fill us in, man. We never met Mr. Leibowitz. You know,
was there a Mr. Well, there was a Mr. Leibowitz, but it
had to be right? At some
did
point.
Come on visiting day.
I was too preoccupied to see my parents.
You were. That was more important.
I kind of remember Aaron too having some sort of a role in the tug of war. I think that's like he got brought out for like he was
I think
like
he
a,
did.
Right. There was some sort of ceremonial aspect to him in the tug of war.
I think he was the master of the rope. Like,
right.
I think
he was the judge of
you're
the tug of war.
He's up on the right. So you got to get that line in the middle.
You know, I got to give Swago props because that was the first day of color war, like that was the greatest. Like you'd have
that was a great kickoff.
It was a great thing.
It
was like
big tug of war,
and both and the teams would line up on opposite sides of. They'd make the tennis court like it was this huge like gladiator stadium. You'd have the green team on the you know by Diamond Four, and the other team would be like on that road to the canteen. You'd out chant each other. You'd break out the British councillor chants. You know whatever those were.
Oogie. You know what? Everyone loved competing in it. It was one of the things
I know.
You could participate, and if you didn't do shit.
I know.
You lost. You couldn't take credit or take the blame for the loss, except if you were the anchor.
Which I always thought was odd, because usually that was like a really heavy kid, and but the really heavy kid wasn't usually a good athlete. So now all of a sudden he's thrown into this position.
Well, it's called the anchor for a reason, though. It's supposed to be the one that's the immovable object.
Still. I mean, there's two sides of that coin, because I feel like the guy who would be the anchor and win was like, great, my summer's made. You know, I was the anchor of the winning tug-of-war team. And the guy that lost was like, ugh, you know, I'm not a great athlete. Maybe he didn't put that much energy into it.
I don't think that I could... I don't have a memory of who was the anchor. Like, who was like the... You know, you think about the people who were in basketball.
Schneider and Wogemuth. That's what's coming to my mind.
Schneider
was the anchor and Wogemuth was the
anchor. Scotty Schneider, you're a friend on Facebook with me.
Yeah. He looks good. He looks good.
He does look good.
He looks good.
Solid.
Yeah.
He's in my industry. He's in the advertising world.
All right.
Yeah, works for big agencies.
And Alan Wogemuth, that dude could rat tail.
You know,
son of a bitch would come
after that son.
Like nobody else. Like it was. He should have been like registered as a weapon. He was literally. He was hurt, and I mean,
that little red wet part would snap you, man.
And like he wouldn't teach you his seat. It was like, how do you do that? And
right.
He's like he would just like laugh and move on.
How many years was he there? He's Eddie's cousin, right? Alan Wogemuth.
He was there for a
while. Probably 3 years. Come on, how long was he there? Ranger.
He was there when I started.
No way. He was. Oh, Eagles. Right. The year I was in the bunk with Eddie and Wogemuth. Next to you guys.
Southern Comfort is good, man. I always thought, like, because it was like, I remember hearing about Southern Comfort, like, in sixth grade, and it was like, oh, somebody got Southern Comfort.
It's so sweet.
I know.
Like candy.
It is. We're gonna make Southern Comfort.
I was in Ireland the last few days.
Yeah.
On this golf trip with my buddies, and we were, which is amazing. If you love golf, you gotta go there. It's just beautiful.
And if you love the Irish.
Oh, you know who we saw? I had just finished up at one of the most beautiful courses called Ballybunion. We sat down. One of the guys with me, who was an Equinox guy, he'll be on one day, went to high school with Matt Dillon, Kevin Dillon, whatever. And there was Johnny Drama.
Really?
Sitting right there. Couldn't have been nicer guy to everybody. Hung out with him for a good 20 minutes, talking to everyone. Friendly dude. He was there with his friends just getting away and going to Ireland.
That's cool. You know what's so cool about him in particular? What's it, Kevin, right? Kevin Dillon?
Kevin Dillon, yeah.
Is that the role he plays as the brother of the more famous actor is his role in real life. That Matt Dillon actually is his,
I agree,
his Vince in real life.
But all right, a little bit. But
right. I mean, the Kevin, character has such an symmetry to him.
When he said to us, oh, yeah, listen, I'm away with my buddies. You know, I got to get back to the wife and the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, what? You have a wife and two kids? You're Johnny Drama. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
No, totally doesn't. But it was cool. And what was I saying? Oh, so we had... I've never been a big whiskey or scotch person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had a little bit of it over the years, single malt.
A little rye, a little bourbon maybe.
But I was drinking Jameson, which is...
I love Jameson.
It's like this shit. It's like fucking candy.
Not as sweet as this, but it's
not
like...
Not as sweet, but it's like apple juice.
It's like Johnny Walker Black... But iced, like if you put
a
left five
sweeter.
Cubes in Johnny Walker Black and just let it
it's
go.
Delicious. It's delicious. We had one night where I couldn't believe how many I was capable of drinking.
And it's relatively inexpensive, Jameson. It's not a crazy...
It's a pedestrian liquor.
For the PI.
No, it's not a top shelf liquor.
It's
Johnny Walker Black kind of, or Johnny Walker Blue, whatever. No, that's the good one. You know what I'm saying? Just the regular one. Johnny Walker. Yeah.
Well, Johnny Walker Red sucks. It's like
Jewish. I don't know. I don't read it, so.
All right. But anyway, Southern Comfort, man.
Very good.
We've got to get them on as a sponsor.
Psych, yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking about the sponsor stuff you were talking about, and it does seem like it's pretty easy to sign up for, like, stamps.com. Like, we could just, I guess you got to join that CJ thing,
yeah,
the CJ affiliate program, and
yeah.
Then you do it.
You know what? Anyone in the world is, anyone is willing to do advertising with anyone on a performance basis.
Mm-hmm.
So their whole thing is, all right, if you can get someone to click through from your webpage or enter your code that you give,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you 8% of the sale.
All right.
Well, I know what my advertising costs are, 8%, and that fits their model. So.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you're only paying if you're getting
benefit. I have a feeling the big podcasters, though,
mm-hmm.
I don't think when Adam Carolla does the stamps, I think that the codes that they're getting are just so that they can track the kind of results they get, but I think those guys command, like, fuck it, you want to do it, pay me.
Yeah, right.
You want to command kind of reach, but... given that we're only at 166 listeners, I think we'd have
unique
to
listeners.
I think we'd have to say, which by the way, we should address. This is a little different for me. This is the second time around. The first time was just you and I, and I didn't think, who the fuck knew if a soul was going to listen to
it? We goofed on that. We're like, all right.
But the reviews came in. They said, you guys were spectacular. I couldn't stop listening. You two are naturals. And, you know, I'm feeling a touch different in this episode. I feel like I'm talking to people.
Yeah.
And
you
I'm
know,
a little
you know
more, a little
more to
anxious
it.
About it.
I hear you.
Yeah.
A little bit more
conscious. I'm a little more self-conscious.
And going into the last one. You know, Alan and I talked about doing this, and again, like we said last time.
Excuse me 1 sec. Yes. If I want to cough, can I mute this thing? Like, is there a way to just mute?
You know what?
So
there's an
cough?
On-off button on the mic, so if you hit the
let's
off
see if
button,
this works. You ready?
Go. Shut his mic.
Well, you probably off. Heard it through your microphone.
You know, interesting, but not as loudly. So
it was a muted cough. So I got a little throat thing as I was coming back from Ireland. I think.
All right.
Did I tell you about Ireland?
You just
did.
Good. Did.
So go on.
All right. So, so anyway, on the first podcast, like we just did it, you know, because we wanted. To do it, we thought it'd be fun. Let's see if we can do something and actually
just
put it up.
Make it happen.
And if one person listens, it'll be funny. I'd actually guessed that 25 people might listen to it. And that
what
would
did
be,
I guess?
You guessed like 60.
60
to 80.
To 80 would be a huge success. I said. And what was our number as of
today? It's 166.
166 listeners, 550 visitors to our page.
So you know,
I'm just curious. Why did you folks visit and not actually just listen for a fucking minute? Like, why didn't you want
to
hear? Like,
is that what that is? Like, people just went to the page and didn't listen.
Channel visits. I really wouldn't trust those statistics. They're not necessarily unique. It could be me visiting 50 times.
Right. Right.
You know, so I wouldn't trust the metric, but. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. So I'm going to repeat it because it's the only metric we've got, so let's roll with it.
In any event, it came in better than we anticipated.
Way better. We got awesome responses just today from Applebaum. Thank you, Apple.
Thank you, Mark.
That was fantastic.
Love that. Love that.
Couldn't stop listening.
Late for work.
Episode 2. Late for work.
So anyway, like, and we love doing, like, we just have fun. Listen, Alan and I like getting together, hanging out, and talking. Anyway, so
I figure why don't fucking put it down on tape?
Exactly.
Let people or whatever you call it now on tape.
Put it down into bits.
Put it down to ones and zeros.
There you go, yo.
Make it happen.
So
it was awesome, yeah.
But we are. But I have to say, like, I am feeling a little bit more. I don't know. Self-conscious.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
yes,
you're
people
more
are listening.
Yeah,
to us.
Like when you're saying shit and talking amongst us, we don't fucking care what we say now. But my mother probably downloaded and listened to it. I'm 99% sure she did.
I know.
And trust me, she's going to listen to this one too. So you got to be, you know, you're thinking about it.
Well,
right?
Hopefully, the Southern Comfort. Offsets that to some degree. You know?
It's starting to be
isn't
quite
it?
Honest.
Isn't
it all
it?
Takes, you ever notice like with like the brown liquors or even tequila, any of the liquors, you get this fucking buzz after just one gulp.
It's like coffee in a way. You
and
know
then,
how coffee
yeah, it gets that first little hit and then it takes a little, you know, then you have to pay, you know, then it's a measured expansion of the buzz, but it's cool. That's good. It's good that you don't have to work, you know, drink three of them before you feel anything.
No, it's
boom, you go in and get a buzz.
Yeah, you definitely don't need three.
It's very good for the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You
up a little bit.
Unless you're Evan Zook.
Yeah, so.
So anyway, but I'm sure.
Does anyone know what's happened to Evan Zook?
I think
he's one guy that I've never heard anything about. Anyone out there? If you know anything.
On the Suegos Petona website from 1999, he posted one thing. He like signed on and posted once, and that was it. He lives in Colorado. I think he's a really successful guy. I think he's actually like a private equity guy.
And I'd like you to email him and find his fucking address so we can listen to our podcast and participate.
Right? Let's figure him out. I think Brian's.
Is Brian what's the relationship there?
I don't think that. I don't know. There was Brian Zucker, Henry Zucker, and Evan Zucker.
Someone's related.
Group.
Somebody's related.
Like what? Like 10% of our group's last name was Zucker.
Yeah, well.
We didn't have Michael. Well, not a Michael. Who's the guy that does Today Show?
A Today Show? Oh,
yeah.
Jeff Zucker.
Jeff. We didn't have him, but...
His kid played baseball with Burke.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so we are connected to him.
Connected to
Jeff Zucker. Look us up, man.
Yeah,
get us some sponsors.
You
man.
Get us on CNN, baby, with a new show.
All right, so we're anxiously waiting to see if Moose is going to come. And that's throwing me off a little bit, too, because...
It's 6:45. The guy's 15 minutes late with that email. He's not invited back. I mean, there's got to be some kind of rules, no? With so many, they're...
He's invited back. Right, I don't
fine,
know. Maybe,
fine.
You know.
I'm just trying to be cocky that we have this popular podcast and how dare he stand us up.
Listen, you know, we want guests and it's...
You could call Popkin last minute. The guy made himself clear he's aware. But I think we should just roll with what we're doing.
I think we just roll.
If he shows, he shows. If he doesn't, he'll come next time.
That's how it is. That's how it is.
Moose was definitely an icon at camp. He was one of those main characters in the camp. He was at an age where he's connected. You know, we We saw the end of Swago. Moose was gone long before the end. He connects back a good 20 years for us, you know what I mean, in terms of who he's related to.
And if you had to say who's the one individual that sort of has kept an email list or contact information before there was an internet to sort of help us along.
Oh, yeah, he was the master of keeping the list together.
He was the guy. Like
the database.
He bleeds green and white. You know?
He does.
So, you know, props to him. And this is my Moose memory. My first Moose memory was, I was 76 Eagles. So he was infamously shafted as a leader in 75.
Right.
Didn't come back as a waiter in 76.
And that's how it was, that those years, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And people were saying, like, there was, day it was, but people were saying, oh, Moose is coming up. He was coming up to visit. And I was like, oh, who's this guy? And he was like, oh, he's the guy that got shafted. And it was almost like this word shafted got intimately connected with him somehow. And there was no other person that exemplified that word other than him. And, you know, hold on one second. Oh, wait, we're not going to take a second. I got to find out what happened. Alan shut his mic off and ran to the door.
It was not Moose. It was the pizza from Moose.
God damn it, man.
Well, at least we have the pizza when he shows up. Look, you come, if you're a guest.
Tell him.
If you come to the ski slope and participate in our podcast on Alan's couch.
You can promote anything you want.
You will be served food. You will get a drink. Last week, 2 or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was.
And we'll cater the drink to you like we're doing with Moose. Southern Conference is associated with you. We'll ask you. I asked Moose. I says, well, what do you want in your bug juice? I didn't get a reply. But I figured if he wasn't going to reply, then Southern Comfort was the way to go.
It was clearly the way to go.
Come on.
You know,
but yeah, we're going to treat you right. We're going to get
you
food.
If you want to do a funnel right now, I'm not so sure I'm up for it. But
Adam,
as long as it's reasonable, we will entertain your liquor needs.
We will. We want people to be happy. This is like,
it's all about happiness.
Spielberg has Shoah for the Holocaust. This is us for Swago, right?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did we discuss this on the last podcast?
We did not discuss any Declaration of Independence or Constitution.
Right, it was
bring
prior
it on
to that. But I, on July 4th, I was out in Vail. I love it. The mountains are amazing in the summer. I love them. You were in Montana. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I just feel so. I feel so alive there. You feel small but alive, right? Mm. You know, it's like it's big sky, whatever. July 4th, I'm sitting in a. Just sitting reading the paper, and on the back they have the Declaration of Independence, and it's about life, liberty, and, you know, the first sentence, I don't know exactly, but life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And damn, we've lost that. Like, where'd that one get lost? Like, why are we not fully? I just think other cultures are much more committed to just being happy and enjoying life, and
we're out of balance.
We're caught in this fucking rat race.
Koi and Iskazi, you know,
it's crazy.
We're out of balance. We're, you know what it is? Everyone's very competitive. Everyone's sort of not competitive, but everyone sort of wants to make sure
competing.
That they're
they are competing.
Yeah,
they're
but they're not
fighting for their fucking.
But it's competition to sort of self validate. It's competition to sort of feel like, not to necessarily beat the other guy, but to feel self worth. I think you know. So I don't think it's as mean.
I don't know about that.
No.
Feel like it's cutthroat. Everyone's just out there to make the buck for themselves. And
yeah, but I think the essence of that is because they need to feel self-worth. And the only way to sort of feel that is competitively.
Right?
Yeah, it is. It's a very quantitative. Listen, it's quantitative. It's like grades in school. There's very few things in life that are quantitative. Your income is.
If you're left $10 million by your grandfather who dies, you're a success then?
No. I bet the guy that...
You've succeeded on those terms? I don't think...
No, the guy...
I
bet the
guy... got any personal value out of that.
No, I bet the guy that inherits $10 million, you know, what? I don't think you feel self-worth from that. You know, I don't think you feel, oh, I'm better than other people because of happenstance. I think you feel that if, you know, somehow you create something that produces that.
You know,
there are definitely
well,
people that... Look, that
you
that
know
are
very
that.
Well that one of our closest friends and part of our trip, Adam Lieber and I... Mm-hmm. We have this running joke. It's like people are like, well, what if you sold your company or if you made that amount? You know, everyone has some kind of a number in their head, like, oh,
right.
that would be enough for me. And if you get to that number, people go, well...
Ooh, then you start living.
Well, what would you do? Well, that's bullshit. Like, that's the trap.
It's
that's
ridiculous.
The trap. Like,
yeah.
That's the whole problem. But like, what would you do with yourself? How could you not work? I'm like, and Adam and I would always joke, it's like, dude... I'll sit and fucking whittle a stick.
Whittle wood. I love that.
I could find entertainment in that rather than doing some valueless sort of work. Up there's the. I think we're on to something. We're going to pause right now for one moment.
Hello? right, we're looking good, I think.
All right, good. So we're back for a second here, and we're going to cut away for a minute about some great news. The doorman is called. Michael Moose Miller is in the house.
Moose is here.
So let's just pause for a second.
Bring it back. When we're back, we're back with Mike Miller.
And you know what? You're not even going to miss shit because we're going to be back, and you're not going to have to deal with the pause because that's the beauty of this all.
That's what being a ski slope subscriber gets you.
Let's pause.
Ski slope ready, huh?
No. I think we're back, and our first guest is here.
This is an
honor. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is an honor.
Michael Moose Miller is in the apartment.
The man.
The honor is all mine.
Well, we are excited to have
to
you
to be on Swago's second podcast.
I mean, does it get
who
a better
ask for more?
You can, man.
It doesn't get any better than this.
You know, before you walked in, we were just giving you major props for being the guy, like, in the 90s that sort of held it together, like, keeping everybody sort of, you know, whose mailing addresses, email addresses, and
yeah,
stuff.
That's
you were
true.
Always fully committed to that.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
but
now,
then you came along with
Ski Slope.
Your
well, it wasn't my page. It originally was
someone's page.
It was Craig
Weinberg.
Weinberg, right? And he
not
was
Craig
sort
Weinberg's
of like
page.
Not to bash anyone, but
oh, Craig yeah. had
Craig had his own business dealings.
Well, he wanted to rebuild the camp. He wanted to buy it at the time.
Right.
Does anyone? No one knew who he was. Who was
he?
That
should have
guy?
Started Facebook because
Craig was,
yeah, that would have been his better move. Yeah.
Probably, but no. Craig was from my time in camp.
So you remembered him. He was
oh,
the guy
sure.
that you remembered. I didn't
and
remember that guy at all.
The best thing about Craig, he's a nice guy.
Right, right.
But his father, I don't know if his father was in the catering business or.
Well, someone
just
was.
Some food sort of distribution business, but he used to bring up soda.
Uh-huh.
And
that
back,
wasn't right.
back in those days, soda in camp was like.
That was a goal.
An unbelievably big deal.
Well,
so like Friday afternoon at lunch or something, his father would come up in his station wagon. I think his mother might have worked in the camp or at Stratona
right.
or something. And we'd have soda. It was amazing.
And it wasn't the White Rock that we got. Was it White Rock?
It was White
yeah,
Rock.
No,
you're calling
it was,
CNC.
CNC too. I think it was Shasta, actually.
Shasta.
Oh, shit.
You couldn't fucking upgrade it to Coca-Cola.
It wasn't Coke. It was Shasta.
Right. How much money did you save by not buying Coca-Cola and buying?
Well, we didn't spend any money at camp, so I didn't.
No, we didn't.
Anything.
I'm talking about the camp management.
Oh, come on. They were buying some 10-cent soda instead
they,
of right?
Anyway,
10, yeah.
no offense.
They probably cut prices where they could.
Yeah.
You know, who can blame them? Who can blame
you look
them?
For every angle. Why did the girls get? I may have asked this last time. Why did the girls get Nova or Lox and we didn't?
I have
bullshit.
No idea. I didn't even
bullshit.
Know they did.
Or did
I
they? Yeah. You know what?
Podcast.
That was
the no.
rumor I had always heard.
Maybe they did.
That might have been a Galilee urban legend.
Well, it was always like a mayoral platform to like run for mayor. You could say like, listen, I'm going to get you guys matzo brine. I'm going to get you guys Lox.
Did anyone want matzo brine? I don't think they
did. It seemed like they did. I don't know if anybody really desired matzo brine, much, but it was a platform.
I know, I did save chocolate pudding for Andy Luger when I was mayor.
Oh,
did you?
Yeah.
Did you, and you got
they
that
They had
in.
Cut out chocolate pudding for some reason, and at the camper cabinet meeting, we had a vote.
Those were heavy.
It was very democratic.
It was.
And we voted to have chocolate pudding back on the camp menu.
And it happened.
Was that your sort of major contribution to camp politique?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was it.
Mine was putting a light on Canteen Road.
That was pretty
good.
Well, this
was
after
the Johnny Lieberbaum.
This was after the Johnny Lieberbaum incident. You remember this where Johnny Lieberbaum
ran back
it?
From Sedona and like tripped over the
tripped over
wire
a,
that
they
put up
a chain, which was
no,
like
it was probably
maybe that gap when you were
past
there.
My day.
All right, but
to
he,
this
lost,
day,
he knocked out two teeth.
Last Johnny Lieberbaum
well,
to show you his
Johnny
teeth.
Johnny Lieberbaum is a unique individual,
a legend,
no
and I give him a lot of props.
Yeah,
as do
as
because
sir.
He is a interesting person.
One of the most I've ever met.
Absolutely,
the best way I say that.
Yeah.
What year did you start Swago?
My first year in Swago was 68.
So you
how'd you get there? What was your sort of entree?
I went by bus.
From Green Acres.
I love Green Acres.
You know, I was thinking about that. I have no idea.
Really?
Well, I know my cousins went there in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds like you know.
That might have been the reason.
I just showed up and I saw my cousin and her brother's sister.
My father was friends with the camp doctor.
Who was the doctor in that
Dr.
day?
Dr. Bear.
Oh, he was for a long time, that guy. He was even there when I got there in 72. I
yeah,
remember that guy.
He was
Max
there for
Bear,
a while.
Or was that a boxer?
He was heavyweight champion in
1932. Max Baer was a boxer. His son was Jethro on the
Interesting
Beverly trip. Hillbillies.
Yep.
Is that true?
It is true.
Max Baer Jr.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I remember Dr. Baer. We had a crazy fucking doctor 1 year. Dr. Jim, remember him?
All the doctors during my tenure.
Craziness. I can't imagine he was a medical doctor. He was so fucking tripped.
Proctologist, maybe.
No, he was tripped out. He was like into synchronicity, and he thought that
Mark
Bolton from T-Rex was the Antichrist.
Didn't he have this whole thing about Esau being the bad? I don't know.
He was Esau. And how did we know this?
The camp took a turn after my generation left.
It did.
You know,
it entered the Geller period.
Well, listen,
that's how I call it. Peter Geller. Peter Geller. There was a Geller period.
There was. But you know what? I think Geller tried as best he could at the time, because Geller
he
looked
did.
Older than he was. He was young at the time.
He tried as best as he could.
He tried to save the spirit of Swago.
I think he did.
From what I've heard,
mm-hmm. after he was dying, to be perfectly honest, he kissed ass to the new owners, and he did not try and save the spirit.
The one thing I don't understand though, and maybe you don't even know this, I'm
but
sure you do actually,
jury.
Is they gave him, like, this is an 83,
they gave him
an honorary Color War sweater, and that's fine.
No.
And they put his name on the plaque.
No, that's not fine.
No?
Was
well,
he
the
one
the sweater,
human being
the sweater.
In all of Swago's history? Moose was shafted. He deserved a fucking sweater before Peter Geller. No
well,
sense
good
Peter
for
Geller.
Nah, listen.
Look at you being diplomatic.
It made him happy.
Take the sweater, that's fine. It's an artifact. It's not going to have that much meaning to him. I thought going on the plaque was like, how do you, even at the time, I was like, how do you accept that? But that being said, I think he did a lot of stuff for, like he was the Rattler guy, you know, you get that at the end of the year. I think he tried to sort of be the guy that helped to segue from the Blumstein era to the Sheldon era. I think his heart was in the right place.
Maybe. I'm not going to deny that, but I don't like the execution.
Peter Geller, come on here, man.
Well, now let's go back. So, Mike,
yes.
We have a question for you. So we were talking about, before you came, about when you were our counselor in the first year, senior year, you bought...
Henry Zucker.
We had the same dispute. We were like 10% of our group was Zucker.
And we, a handful of us, five or six of us, you bought us a bottle. Didn't look like that Southern Comfort, had a different label.
No, it was a smaller bottle. I remember the night.
It probably was. And we went up to around near the rifle range up behind the golf course.
Oh,
and that's what we drank.
Why didn't you do it right on the ski slope?
So,
that's what I thought we did.
I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking wrong. Maybe we did it at the ski slope. I just remember him running around and being freaked out up there. So I don't really know what happened after that. So who brought, like, how did it get back, like, immediately, like, who bought it and you just fess up to it because you didn't want to...
No, obviously...
I'm still denying it, by the way.
Oh, and Matt, what are you talking about? I didn't buy it.
That was Alex Swedlow.
From what I've heard... Allegedly... Peter Shapiro, tool number one.
Oh, he was our group
leader. He was our group
leader,
yeah.
Of the Blumstein regime.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I guess turn me in.
Oh, Peter, you could come on as a guest even though we don't like you.
And the
I'm going to defend
the next
Kelly.
Day, I believe Dave called me up to the office.
Peter Shapiro just went out of his way to turn you in.
Evan went to the infirmary. Evan went to the infirmary because it was flipping out.
Believe that's what happened.
It wasn't like it was this unreported.
I don't
incident.
Know how the events transpired in
yeah,
camp because
right.
what happened was. The alleged bottle found its way on the camp in the early evening. And then that night, Alex Swedlow, Mike Moss, and myself...
We had the greatest...
We had an all-star team. We were former campers.
We went to Monticello, I think it was. So we went somewhere.
Right.
The Kinks concert.
And we were hitching back to camp.
Hitching?
Allegedly.
Hitching.
Really?
No, not
really,
allegedly.
Really.
We were hitchhiking. And we were down, if you remember, it's like the bottom of the hill where the bridge was,
mm-hmm.
coming over the Delaware.
There's a basketball court.
And there were these dogs chasing us. And
good night for Moose.
We were running up the hill. Suddenly a truck came along and stopped, and the guy gave us a ride back to camp, or further up the hill, I think, to the camp road.
Right, right.
Whatever it was. And so then we walked back to camp, and then all the shit hit the fan. You know, I said, oh, Evan,
it's
the whole thing. And the next morning, the plumber said, you're out of here. And I think I told them, you know, Dave, I told you I'd get you back for not making me a color war leader.
This was the payback.
You know, this might have been the payback. I forgot exactly what transpired between us. It wasn't friendly.
You do know that if you, and it's on Facebook. If you look at the 1979 senior picture, yeah, we're all frowning in protest of your being let go.
I appreciate that.
No, look at it.
It's Pearlstein when it,
and particularly because he's one of the people frowning too. So
of course, I was frowning.
No. But it's we're all. If you look at the 1979 seniors picture,
we were so lucky. I didn't even register for me.
We had pretty good counselors.
Awesome,
and he matched up perfectly. Like
Alex Wedlow.
You had like Eddie and Popkin. I mean,
I was with you guys.
I had that bunk. Dave gave me that bunk deliberately.
The trouble kids,
because they were the trouble children.
The alternative.
Do your magic on them.
And I spent, I guess, the beginning of the summer just beating the hell out of Matty Roseman every day.
No, but that was, he was in L.A. Yeah.
He went up to Dave to show him his black and blue marks.
Oh, so it started off rough for you.
No, that didn't bother Dave. He just told me
to beat on Matty.
Just don't make them show, basically, at that point. And, but it was an interesting bunk. I think Zucker was in. You sure it was Evan?
It was Evan.
It was Evan, not Henry. It was Evan, who was a little.
I remember his balls blew up or something.
I think Evan or Henry. Who was the one that dropped the M80 down the intern?
That was Henry Zucker.
That was a Zucker. Different Zucker. Sorry, that was a different explosion.
A lot of Zucker issues there, though.
But the Zuckers are good kids. I actually spoke to Evan and Henry. What was it, Evan? Whichever one. Called to apologize for getting me in trouble.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Like last year.
Really?
Last year, Evan Zucker.
Yeah.
He just called out of the woodwork.
How did he? Wait. So he called you or emailed?
Well, he emailed first, and we spoke.
So I was weighing on him all this time. This is pretty cool.
I don't know if it was or not. But anyway, it was nice of him. I think it was before the reunion.
Yeah, he was a good dude, but. He was like, I was with him that night because we had taken one or two shots from the Southern Comfort as well.
I took three, wherever it came from.
Look at you.
He
was like hallucinating. We said it was like he took brown acid.
It's like he swallowed the worm.
Yeah, and it was
like
there was something
going on.
Maybe it was the first time he ever drank.
I'm sure it was.
We were only 14, 15 years old.
Whoever brought the bottle into camp was irresponsible.
Hopefully they suffered.
Who cares?
Right,
exactly. So tell me this, because this was 75. I started in 76, and the whole...
You started in 76?
I know.
Wow, you were post...
I was post you.
I was,
although I was saying, before you came here, like, my memory of you, though, in 76, because you didn't come back as a waiter. But
yeah, I did, actually.
Did you?
I was a waiter in 76.
But late in the year, though, right?
I came up a week later.
Oh, okay.
Because I broke my ankle playing basketball in my friend's backyard, and I didn't get my cast off until...
Man, you were jinxed.
I think the doctor took the cast off July 4th, and my brother drove me up July 5th, and...
it was a huge to-do for me, because everyone was like, Moose is coming back, Moose is coming back, and I was like, who's this Moose guy?
Do you realize that?
I was in the social hall.
Are you aware that you were like one of the... You know, there's like, at a camp, there's like, there's a certain group of people who everybody loves, he's a character, he's funny. Are you aware that you were one of those people at Swaygo? Oh, Jesus, a phone call interrupting some business.
Hang on a second. It's Evan Zucker, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Ed Burke.
It's out.
Ed Burke, hello.
Oh, this is Ed Burke
on the telephone, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hook him in.
Well, it is the call-in portion of the show now. Hold on, I'm going to put you on speakerphone.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold him up to the mic. Let's see if this works. We're improvising.
Ed, you there?
I am here.
All right. This is awesome. We have Ed Burke in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Ed Burke.
Michael Miller. What's up, Ed?
Ed, how are you?
Well, it's not a live. We're not at the point of live broadcasting yet, and we're certainly not in HDTV at this point. However, it'll be posted. How fast can we get these up these days?
I'll have to talk to my staff, but I would imagine by
the time you drive home.
They have some operation here, Ed.
Well, listen, I don't want to interrupt your podcast.
Oh, please.
Well, do you have any, questions? Do you have any questions for Mike Miller?
Oh,
awesome. Well, we're excited that you called in, Ed. We'll be in touch soon. And
you're the first caller to the show, I think.
He is.
Ever.
He is.
You're the first guest ever.
Give me a call when you guys are done.
We definitely will.
All right, Ed.
Nunway,
talk
man.
Talk to you later. When did this Nunway start?
That's a good question.
That's what
I
want to
know.
What,
was that,
it
was
wasn't
that,
in
it wasn't
in,
just Sagma,
in my
generation. Nunway.
Nunway.
You didn't have
that? Kia Nunway.
I always,
no, it started after.
But I remember Dave doing it,
so
I assumed it was an old-time thing.
I think there was a generational shift.
Mm.
Right.
In the Indian heritage.
Around when?
The Indian heritage.
You know what? We have to celebrate the Indian thing.
One part of the tribe wanted to build a casino in the social law.
No. Let's just go with the language.
But I think it probably happened in 76 and 77.
Mm-hmm.
That's to a lot of people when... I guess the part of... Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it's...
Well, what are you...
The part of Swigger for? After I left, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it went downhill after that.
Well, it clearly
but,
went downhill in terms of numbers. There's no doubt about that.
I think that the camp started losing campers, and then it probably even lost more when... Shelly took over.
Well, it only lasted for a year or two.
The Sheldon, that was a joke. I mean, that was... Never should have happened. But I feel like I was there in 72, and I don't know if it's just because I was so young and you look at things differently when you're 7, 8, or 9 years old, but I do feel like the camp had a different quality in my earlier years being there. It felt bigger.
Well, there
felt
probably
like
were more campers
there.
There
were more campers. It just felt a little bit different. I don't know, like I said, if it was just my age and
I think what happened also is a lot of the old-timers left.
Right.
And... I don't know, like, were you a counselor?
I was the year before the last year, Howie and I were counselors in the Eagles, and there were maybe 110 kids.
Oh, really?
That
few kids?
And the year after that, the last year, there were maybe 60 kids, but the crazy part was I think Swatona still had 180 girls, 190 girls, and we brought them down.
Well, Swatona was run differently
than
Swago.
Right. Look, obviously...
And I think a girls' camp... Obviously, at that time, boys' camps, he started... I don't think Dave put any money into the camp.
He didn't put any money. He wasn't willing to, I guess, you know, from the secondhand stories, wasn't willing to sell it to the former, you know, the guys who would need to pay him out over time. And
that's correct.
Man.
So he sold it to
Deller,
some piano-playing homosexual.
Well, listen, no...
Not that there's anything wrong with
piano-playing
homosexuals.
Buying a boys' camp might not be
the
best.
One buying the camp that happened to be...
Listen, as I've said to people, you're a parent. You're looking at four camps, and in walks Sheldon and Stan. You're not choosing Swago.
You know,
let's be honest.
They give
like,
off a vibe. Let's
it just doesn't.
That
well,
way.
Especially wearing those Richard Simmons shorts,
right? So
those were fashionable in '81.
And they just, you know, we went through the whole story, and we're going to do this again as one episode of this. But the ending days, it wasn't the last year; it was the second to last year. Were insane. There was insanity going on there. Did we discuss this on this one?
No, we didn't get into the revolution, but it was discussed on the old Swago
side. I'm not proud to say this, but there were 110 kids in one of the last days in a circle surrounding Sheldon and Stan, pointing at him, yelling, homo, homo, homo. It was crazy what fucking took place there. And the fact that
it
gets to that
sorry, I missed it.
You missed the street. It was crazy. And we're going to have on Adam and Adam... Liebner and Lenny Bender, who were in the middle of it all, and they were the ones who went through the whole story on that 1999
and Mark Holtzman
board
too.
And Holtzman. It was fucking crazy what went on. It was, but anyway, let's move along from that.
Well,
Mark Holtzman, world renowned musician
Silent
these days,
jamming with Pete Seeger.
Pete Seeger, amazing.
I know, it's amazing. The one thing I wanted to get into you with, because I don't know the true origins of this, was the whole Shaft thing, which, to the best of my knowledge, was it was a Chief Sagamore thing. Cousin Brucey, I guess, was...
There are a lot of rumors.
All right,
to that extent.
Statute of limitations.
Basically, no statute of limitations. there was some people say it was because I imitated Rita lighting the Shabbos candles.
Desecration.
Volleyballs and all.
Oh, come on.
But
it
was more, I think there was a camp, Chief Sagamore, a campfire. And
Brucey was Sagamore, because Geller was Sagamore.
Yeah.
Cousin Brucey was playing Sagamore. And we got into it, insulting each other. And
do you remember specifically what was said?
Maybe it was Moosack. You were the, that was
it.
The best.
It was part of Moosack.
Moosack. I forgot
Moosack
about
was
that.
One of the
that
greatest
was
killer.
It was part
we
of that.
We looked forward to that when we showed up at those Sagamore.
That
events.
Was
particularly
more,
when Libby threatened
you
to
can
kick
thank
Alex Swedlow's
Alex
ass.
Swedlow for that.
That's an Alex Swedlow thing.
Alex was one of the most creative human beings alive.
Agreed.
And still is to this day.
Are you close with him still?
We're not as close as we used to be.
He's
out in California.
No,
we talk on Facebook.
He's a friend of mine on Facebook. We were never really friends, but I was glad when he, whichever.
Alex is a very, very, very nice guy. We went to.
I never felt anything, but he was like.
We went to Times Square one New Year's back in the 70s. It was raining. It was snowing. And literally, I think we were the only, I mean, I'm sure we weren't, but it felt like we were the only people there.
Right.
I mean, we just walked right up to where they were dropping the ball. You know, they didn't have it like they do today.
Right.
And, no, but Alex is a great guy. You know, so we were probably doing a Moosack, and we were inside.
Moosack, for those non-Swedlow Swatona people.
Or Johnny Carson watches.
Of the Johnny Carson's
Wait, excuse me, how many non-Swedlow Swatona people?
You have no idea.
Swatona people are actually listening
you have
to this.
No idea.
Just for the record, my mother probably will download this. So I just want to make sure she's in tune with what we're talking about.
We think you're a great person, Mrs. Pearlstein, by the way.
We
raised
know you
love
you.
Mrs. Pearlstein.
Two fine sons.
Marion.
Marion. His name's Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn, excuse me.
Oh, you guys are real close. You had to talk about my brother's bar mitzvah.
Marilyn, listen. You know I don't mean anything by that.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
The bottom line is I insulted Cousin Brucey in Dave's eyes.
By saying what?
Later,
like, what did you say? Do you remember exactly, like, how do you insult Cousin Brucey?
Well, we were making fun of his son.
It's like something about his toupee, or?
His toupee, his son.
Oh.
John was in my bunk for last year. And
his career.
He mentioned us.
His what? What was that last
his one? His career.
Oh, his career.
And
pretty good career.
He insulted me back.
Yeah, take it light, man. Yeah.
You know, he. I do not believe he was insulted by it.
Really?
Dave
just thought
well,
he
Dave,
was going after.
Dave was in a rage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because of Rita's.
For whatever reason.
Volleyball thing.
He was getting older. And
he was prone to rage.
You know. Look, in those days, Alzheimer's wasn't considered such
right.
a big deal.
Okay. It was just part of growing old.
And so he asked me to write an apology letter to Cousin Brucey.
Dave, I don't have a typewriter.
And I told him I would not do it.
Ah, man of principle.
And so that basically started the...
The end of
the end of my Color Wall Eater career, probably. And
that would have been
75.
That would have been 75.
So
that was probably the reason.
So how'd that go down? Like everyone, you know, how leaders got tapped. It was sort of on the
QT. Who
were
the leaders?
QT.
Who were
like,
the leaders?
Like what happened?
Ed Burke.
Of course, Ed, who just called
Neil
him.
Herman.
All right.
And Ozzie Orin were on the white team.
No comment about Ozzie Orin.
I don't know
who he is.
I don't know that guy.
Mitch Kaplan.
Of course. Good
Dave Jacobs.
Player. Dave, my counselor into you.
And Andy Luger were the green team.
All right.
Get that Ozzie guy out.
They all deserve to be.
Right.
I don't know, man. 68 to 75.
It's a funny story, actually, that no one had the guts or wanted to tell me,
because
they were afraid of my reaction. So you know, when you're a second year senior, you have Kiyuma practice.
Yeah.
And then you do basically whatever you want.
Right,
so I guess
everyone
was everywhere, and so they chose Ed. To tell me.
But he was your best friend, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough.
So he told me I didn't believe him at first.
Hey, you're joshing me, eh?
You know, I said, okay. You know, then my counselor, Roy, told me.
No.
Neil's brother, Roy Herman? Or different Roy?
Neil's brother, Roy Herman, was my counselor for 3 years.
Okay.
And so that was it.
Mm.
You know, Dave never said anything to me about it. Until the next summer when I was a waiter, his claim was he thought I would have been too dominant a leader over everyone else.
You're too much of a leader
good.
To be one.
That
Mike is too damn good to be a leader.
Exactly. And so that's basically why I wasn't a color wheel leader. A funny story is that the waiters, led by Robert Krause,
ah.
Bobby Krause to many,
yes,
or just Krause.
Krause, I think.
He's an unusual.
Wanted to leave the waiters out on strike in protest over it. But
oh, really? I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah,
can you imagine,
it was nice to know.
The strike failed.
they busted it.
He was not funny.
They brought the kitchen boys in, which was nice. Nice
did you
racist
happily
term.
Participate, even though you were.
Yeah, of course, yeah, of course.
You took the high road.
I took the high road. I there was no other choice. I think I did actually.
Did you
call
go to
home
sing? Did you go to sing practice?
And tell my parents that I wanted to come home.
All right. So
oh,
you know, honest. All right.
But I think my father said, "Shut up," and hung up the phone. You know, parents were very caring and loving back then. That was good parenting.
Stick it out, sorry. It's 2 more weeks.
A funny story at the Apache Relay.
I was just about to ask you what the events you did were at the Apache Relay.
Well, I did the rope burning.
Okay,
They gave it to the guy that was always like, "You're not the okay." You
right? Like, who did we give it to?
Gottlieb.
And the water. I actually did the boiling the water.
That's just another
and
fire.
My pyro technique was taught to me by this guy, Stephen Lapper.
Ah,
I remember
him. Who was one of the biggest. You should just go burn things for the hell of it. And so I did the rope burning with Ed and Maury.
Maury
Pierce.
We were discussing
Maury. Maury. Most manly man at Swigo, I thought.
He definitely was.
Right? All right.
Maury was
tying in all the shit we talked about before he showed up.
He was truly a man's man.
He was.
With
that keychain.
Exactly. The white V-neck.
Him
and
Stan and Dave, they all had that keychain chain.
We were talking about,
you know, like they wanted to kill someone with it. You know, and that was like their you know,
awesome.
No one had cell phones in those days. So that was probably their status symbol that they had to zoop.
It was the iPhone
keychain,
different apps.
So Maury was there with Ed before I had gotten there, and he asked Ed, "How am I doing? You know, not being a color wheel leader and everything." And Ed said he's handling it okay. And so, but then I got down there because I had done another event before. And, you know, it was getting close to, they were coming to us, and I just suddenly exploded at Maury. "Maury, give me the fucking matches now!" And some other things. I was probably psyched out of my mind anyway.
What was Maury's official role at camp? Because we were debating this before. And we couldn't figure. Like, what did
Maury
he do? What did
was,
he do there?
Maury was the
like a fix-it guy?
Well,
way?
Stan was. If
Maury
Dave
was
CEO,
everything.
Was he? Wait,
he
seemed like he was busy.
I want to say that Dave was the CEO.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Stan CEO?
Stan was probably the chief financial officer.
Okay.
No. I don't think Stan had anything to do with finance. I think Stan was operations.
Yeah,
Maury would have been the chief of staff.
Right,
I suppose.
Maury
was the jack of all trades.
Got it.
I think he had been head counselor at one point.
I think so.
Okay.
He was a group leader.
That. He'd be a great head counselor, actually.
Well, you know, I think he had
been
there
the
for like 30 or 40 years.
All right.
So,
and Aaron,
you know,
Shea too.
All those guys.
Aaron Shea. We were talking about the same thing. Like, what was Aaron Shea's?
Aaron Shea was the tennis guy,
right?
At Station
Wagon. But my years, all he did was play tennis. He wasn't like he was teaching anybody though.
He might have been retired by then.
He was just hanging.
Honorific.
Just came up.
He would drive once or twice a week.
Look, Dave was a teacher.
So
all these guys were teachers that he knew.
I didn't know that.
Basically, or you know that he met him and he and Aaron were probably friends back in Brooklyn.
Right.
And so Aaron, I always smelt like Ben Gay.
I don't recall that,
from all that tennis, man.
Yeah. I'm telling you,
it is kind of sad that Dave didn't find that next generation of camper. Guy, teacher guy.
Well, they were
Arnie
there.
Heller, right?
He just wouldn't.
Yeah, he just
Paul Broad and Arnie Heller
wanted
to buy the camp.
Right.
And Dave would not sell it to them.
That's just sad because.
It is because the camp would probably still be in existence
today.
He
might have made a few more bucks, but. or less.
You look
bucks
at you look at like Camp Wayne right now. Camp Wayne was the same as us. They're
like,
huge,
yeah.
And it was just it was all a matter of like pivoting at the right
Swingo
time.
Swingo was always a unique camp, though. It was like a.
It was.
Like we weren't that. Like we were into sports, but just for the thing, we were laid back more than a lot of other
I was
camps.
Actually thinking that in the elevator on the way up.
What was that? That how we were a particular.
You
kind
couldn't
of
call Swingo. We weren't a jock camp.
Definitely not.
No.
You know, everyone was pretty much accepted.
Right.
In camp, whether you were an athlete, whether you were not an athlete, whether you were Popkin, whatever it was.
Yeah, you had to be really bad not to.
You were accepted. I can't think of really anyone.
Very few people.
Except for
Hall
and Cass, who no one liked.
Right.
And was just a loner by nature.
Harlan, don't kill yourself, brother. We love
you. I
hope you we're actually, I mean, we wonder where he is today.
Let's get it out.
Harlan's claim to fame
on
is that in 1976, the year after our senior year when we were waiters, Harlan drove up to camp in a red Corvette that his father bought him.
Wow.
Now we're talking Harlan didn't fit in a red Corvette.
Why, he was a big dude?
No, he just, you wouldn't picture him in a red Corvette.
You'd
picture him in a...
Like a sedan.
A Pinto.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But you're right. I can't really... There weren't many people...
Like even like a Louis Wolfowitz.
Who really weren't
it, you know?
Hated
camp.
Right.
Very few people were,
you know,
were
turned away. I don't think that many people were ostracized.
I don't remember anybody going home and visiting
in camp either. Yeah. I'm sure there were.
There
right. Because I know I've seen some things on Facebook where people have written things.
There was one guy I remember.
That they
like,
hated camp.
Yeah, he was like, you guys torture.
What
like,
the
oh.
fuck are you on our Facebook?
<Yeah.
then?"
laughs> we're going to torture you again,
you enjoyed it, didn't you?
Apparently it was good enough to join your page.
But
yeah, right. That one dude was writing that whole thing about how...
Yeah, how it was like a...
His father.
His youth was
right?
Yeah,
his
poorly spent. Exactly. His dad had some connection, and he was poorly treated.
Like, move along.
No.
Sorry to hear that.
Go somewhere else.
You know, I think if people didn't like camp, they didn't come back, I guess.
That's
you
it.
Know, but I mean, I was in the same bunk with the same kids for...
Who was in your bunk?
Like
your
seven
who
or eight years.
Who was that?
Ed, obviously.
Right.
Mitch Kaplan.
Okay, I remember him well.
Dave Jacobs.
Him well, yeah.
Ozzy.
I remember him so well.
Then we had like
some
Andy Luger.
Okay, I remember.
You know, it was mainly us five for like 4 or 5 years, and you know, then they flipped someone extra in. One year it was this kid Richard Sorkow.
No,
don't remember Sorkow.
And you know, a few others over here.
Oh, that's Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin. Then we had Joel Schneider in our bunk, but he stopped coming. I think after his interview was his last year.
Where was Brad Kushner in your thing?
Brad Kushner was older than us.
Yeah, I've never met that guy, but he was legendary.
Brad Kushner was truly probably one of the sickest people who ever went to Camp Swago. But he was in a bunk with guys Michael Kay.
Jay Baum's brother, or Mitch Baum's brother, Jay Baum, was that years
ago? No, Jay Baum, I think, was
the same
age as them.
I don't know why I equated those guys. Like,
well, they had a huge... fight on the outdoor basketball court once.
Maybe that stuff.
That was one of the camp classics.
Get into
Kushner
it, tell us.
Kushner and Baum, this is worthy of a story.
There was and then Kushner and Lippy.
Oh, there you go. That threesome was like the psycho threesome.
Had a huge
I remember Lippy
fight
into
Jay Baum wasn't psycho. He was just like a non-athletic guy who enjoyed camp.
Yeah.
You know, and enjoyed
the abuse.
You know, not quite psycho.
He enjoyed the abuse that he got, or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, Lippy and Kushner had a huge to-do on the outdoor basketball court. Kushner once tied himself to the rim... in a lightning storm.
Okay.
Wanted to be hit by
that's how
lightning.
He wants to go out. He's like, let the lightning get me on outdoor courts.
You know, but then, you know, it's funny. You think about camp, and it's not one particular story.
Right.
Or one particular
thing.
It's everything.
Right.
You know, everything just...
Every day-to-day living
perfectly
with them. Yeah.
And then, you know, you had arguments with your friends. You hated them one day.
Didn't
you liked
them
the next.
Less than an hour.
Exactly. You know, you had it someone elbowed you on the basketball court, you got pissed at them.
That was it.
Counselor that came, maybe it was after you, somewhere along the way, it was like, you would hack everyone in basketball games.
No.
Sorry, let me not go off tangent. I'm not going to remember it. Anyway,
we had a group leader, Jack the Hack, we called him.
Maybe that was
Lenson. But we would have been older than you
one,
at that point.
One lippy memory I have, I think it was the Sagamore thing in 76, and I think Alex was doing the Moosac thing at that point in time. And Alex did something that related to Lippy. I don't remember what it was exactly. Lippy flipped out. And I thought it was part of the Sagamore ceremony. It was almost part of like, oh, he's just pretending to be mad at him. And Alex was like trembling, like on the ground.
Well,
like,
Lippy was psychotic. Lippy came up to camp.
He came up to camp
with a shoebox full of pills.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
No, not allegedly.
Literally, he had pills.
He had vitamins.
The doctor could not identify what half these things were.
And he tried.
And it was literally a shoebox.
He was your year? He was right in your
He was younger.
He was younger.
Yeah,
he was
probably
a year younger than us.
He was with
Ricky
and
Krausner.
Probably
would have been a second year senior in 76, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was there or not.
He was. And
he
didn't
he wasn't
have to do anything. It felt like he was okay for Lippy to sit in his room.
Right, with overalls.
And not have to come out. Like,
right.
He was a guy.
He was special permission.
It's like he can just, obviously, you know, take all those pills that he
Dave
brought in
the didn't
box.
Care.
He can't identify him, so let him take
it. I almost think by that point Dave didn't care. He was just trying
like
to get all the money
bucks,
he could.
$1,800,
right. Right, was camp $1,800 that year?
I think it was
that much
back then.
I think the year I was a second year senior, it was $1,100 for the summer.
Yeah, so maybe it got up to $1,500 in our time.
I think
I don't remember the $1,100. I think $1,100 was pretty.
My son went to Chippewa.
Yeah,
sucks.
That was camp $11,000.
Yeah, it's ridiculous
for the summer. It's ridiculous.
Six and a half weeks now.
What people pay now for camp?
$12,500. Jesus.
You don't even get 8 weeks of camp anymore.
No. But, you know, they still get camp, you know, and like to me, it's like if you get camp as part of your life experience, God bless, you know, it's like it's pretty important.
Yeah, I think so.
You know?
I think the world is divided into camp people and non-camp people.
We talked about that last time. We think it's such an incredible thing to like go off for 2 months, 1/6 of the year, and just be with your friends, you know, not have parents,
awesome.
And just sort of
right.
be with your peers is sort of your...
But we all know, I
with.
Have other friends that I met in college that were camp guys. One of my best friends, who was here staying with me, was like, you know, a main guy at Equinox. And they're the same. They're just like us. They enjoyed it the exact same way.
Right. Exactly.
Awesome.
Although,
it's
you know,
like an unusual...
Here's one thing that, to put in a feather in Swago's cap. Is like, I went to, you know, Swago's Watona has their own Facebook page, and Equinox has theirs, too. And Equinox only has like 1,600 people, and we have like 500. And I'm like, your camp has a 30-year,
extra.
I would.
You
feel
would.
Like, yeah, I kind of feel like,
Facebook,
I feel like we're more loyal than there.
Facebook freak.
No, I'm not a Facebook freak.
Look, you're getting offended.
Well, the word freak implies something negative, I think.
Committed. You're committed to Facebook.
I think the people who went to Swago
freak.
And Swatona.
How dare you get offended, a freak?
Are not Facebook freaks.
The people that went to Swago Swatona?
Are not.
Or not, but Equinox must be even less because if you have 30 years of history,
and their camp is still in existence,
and their camp is still in existence with people that would be more Facebook friendly.
Well, maybe there's no feeling that if you're an alumni that you need to be part of this page because you just go back to fucking camp at the every year and you see everybody. You know,
yeah, that's probably true.
And then we were talking before about how great it would be if you know. Yeah, listen, I loved going to Swago Swatona. I wouldn't change a thing. But if the camps were still around. And rather than chipping off,
day,
if you could have sent Zach
right?
to Swago,
yeah.
my Zach to Swago.
Oh, my kid would have gone to Swago.
Right?
Okay.
And then their friends.
He wouldn't have had a choice.
No, exactly.
That's where he would have gone. He wasn't going anywhere else if the camp.
Yeah.
And I think most.
We all would have been
of the Swago people feel that way.
Absolutely.
You know, your kid would have gone there.
Kid, without question. You know, if they would have liked
you know,
it.
You
and, I feel, and I feel like visiting day would have been this almost reunion
awesome
of sorts.
Event.
And I don't,
yeah.
I don't get that
That's
sense in other
camps.
That's
what my friend was telling me. He goes, we would have our alumni day the week before visiting day. And it was kind of a waste because we'd all come back. All of our kids are there now.
Yeah.
They don't
right.
come back for visiting day. And it was like an alumni day.
That's
got to
be great.
Yeah, it would be a nice
Yeah, that's
what we miss.
That's something that we do miss.
Yeah, no yeah. doubt.
Well, listen, now we have a podcast instead.
So
right. how many camps have how many camps have a podcast?
I mean, we are the first.
Are we?
Well, I don't know if we're the first. No one else has.
Well, we're laying claim to being the first.
I know Equinox doesn't.
Hey,
that.
Kiss my ass, Equinox.
That's right.
A Batalha d'Oro. So I think there, you refer to the Kiyuma Under 14 tournament in which you coached me. I don't remember this. You were the coach of me, of my Kiyuma 14. I think it was his brother. Like, I don't think it was me.
No, it was you.
It was. Okay. What year is this, first off?
Had to be 77.
Okay, nice. So right. Under 14.
77.
That works. I'm 12.
All right, so far so good.
You were the coach of the Kiyuma
team. Were 12. You were the tallest kid.
I was probably the player on the team, I guess. I don't remember anyone else.
There were...
Was there an older group with me, or was I the older group on it?
No, you were probably the older group.
Okay, all right. So, and how did we do? We won it, you said?
We won. We were the only... remember
winning it.
Not only did we win, he actually paid for buses to bring the whole camp the championship.
Wow. Where was the championship? What year? Oh, at Kiyuma, I guess.
It was at Kiyuma.
You have no memory of this?
I used to drive one station wagon. Mike Morse drove the other.
This is so... Wait, so... 77. Wait, 76, you said?
No, it would have been 77.
All right, 77. So I started in 72.
We're
so
Rangers.
Good.
We're Rangers at this point.
Yeah.
Did we? I don't remember this.
I don't either.
I do remember you coaching like Lenny and those guys. I think they may have won it. Like Lenny Scott Stein.
No, he was on the team.
All right, all right.
Unless we had him as a ringer.
He's 17.
Well, I was under 14, so I couldn't.
So then you were on the team.
It's amazing how much that those couple of tournaments dominated like the sports.
They were great.
I don't even remember caring about leagues or anything internal ever.
No.
All that mattered was
Kiyuma
Under 16. Intercamp didn't mean that much to me.
No, I don't mean intercamp in the true intercamp, but
the tournament.
Regardless if it's soccer or if it's basketball.
The senior A game.
And the senior A
were
game.
Were the big,
right.
big things.
Exactly.
But, yeah,
exactly.
Intercamp games.
We didn't really
They probably lost their luster. I don't even know if camps have intercamp games anymore.
I think they just have tournaments as regularly as they used to. They don't do
and
it
stuff.
As much.
I mean, when in its heyday of intercamp games, if you want to say, we used to get into fights with other camps. Mm-hmm.
Well, Popkin mooned the owner of that.
Me too. That's why I almost lost my mayoralty.
That was good.
Bullshit.
Pass you back.
Someone from Swego once took a bat to the owner of Tyler Hill.
I like that.
All right, all right. Tell me that. Tell me that story, man.
What do you mean, took a bat? Literally,
I
was threatening
smacking him over the head with the bat,
oh,
I think.
Oh, shit. We killed the owner of Tyler Hill.
We had to get off the buses and get the fuck out of there.
What happened, man? We got to get to back that up.
I'm not sure. No, it wasn't us. It was an older group. And... something happened in a baseball game or a basketball game. Because we really only played softball and basketball.
Right.
It was in later years when
soccer
suddenly
football, as we like to call it.
Yeah, that was just because the British council started showing up.
Maybe.
Over to the Wayne County area.
It's because the camp became more feminine, I think.
Oh,
did you have
people
in your years while you were there? Did you have the British counselors also? Were they there? Was Hawkeye there?
Hawkeye was
the first. He was the first.
Yeah, he was.
And,
the original.
I didn't
for a
Hawkeye.
While.
Like
he was the only one.
He's not fucking listening to our
podcast.
Yeah, he was the only one. Then
it
started becoming more and more prevalent because kids just didn't want to do it anymore. I guess. There were other options.
I think there were other options. Really to do it.
I think there was a whole business that was based on sending British college students to be.
Yeah, it still is.
It's still big now.
There
it is.
And it was great. I loved it.
I know my kid had English counselors.
Where does your son go to school? About camping.
He went to Chippenhoff.
So he went to up in that area.
I like the British thing. I thought it was like a nice.
Well, Howie and I, we were counselors, and we had a British co-count, a couple of them. And during college, we went over to Europe, and we actually hung out with
Rupert
that for like a bunch of days. It was cool.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, kids just don't get certain experiences, especially if the counselors were kids who went to the camp.
And let's be honest, what kid didn't get freaked out by their first uncircumcised dick?
That was scary, right? When you saw that?
Probably.
But I think it was good for us. I think it was a spanning.
I don't know, man. I still have like bad flashbacks about that. I'm like, what? That's what it looks like, really?
Live and learn.
No, I did.
Camp is a growing experience.
Exactly. It's about expanding your horizons.
Now, the British thing was cool because you'd come home and you'd take home, like, wanker and bloody as sort of, you know, vocabulary words.
I was
just
in Ireland using wanker regularly in my dialogue. It really came in handy.
But that's going back to the first year senior thing. Like, that was so special. We probably had, like, one or two other English counselors in our bunk, but the fact that our counselors were Moose, Moss, and Swedlow.
That's
an all-star
group.
Team.
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, that's the way it used to be at the camp.
Right, it was the actual campers that were the...
All the old campers came back as counselors. So you had four counselors in a group, or five, who had been campers. And
you could almost point to that as, like, when it started to end. Like, those years where it stopped being... campers coming back as counselors, like, we did it, but it wasn't a lot of, like, we were just hanging on.
Exactly. Because
we had brothers there, and we wanted to go back. But you really saw that stop. Like, you were, I feel
right.
like after that year that you guys were that, I don't really feel like it was campers as counselors again after. And that was definitely a downturn.
Look, in any camp, it's the traditions. I just read some book about camps, and it's the traditions that go from year to year that really keep a camp going. You know, you could have the best facilities in the world,
but
if the camp has no soul,
exactly,
who the hell cares? It might as well just be Tyler Hill then.
No doubt. Peace.
Who are the Nazis of camp?
Although they're still here. I find it ironic that our camp was like Tyler Hill, never was and never will. And, you know,
they are.
We've been gone for 30 years.
But you know,
and
they're owned by like some guy who owns a few camps. It's like a different world.
Yeah,
then.
It's
not only that, he fracks on the camp.
He does. He is a fracker.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's big into
whole
it.
Acres
yeah.
of it.
He's probably making.
There was an article in the Times or something.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, and you know, we happened to go back up to that area, and the people are selling their land for that shit. Didn't the fucking people where we go sell it?
Can't blame them.
Yeah, $1,500 an acre or something like that. They got plus whatever anyway.
Tyler Hill always freaked me out because you'd go to Tyler Hill and there'd be like girls and boys all walking around at the same time.
Well, they're Nazis.
It seemed like, wait, how can you? This is too integrated.
Plus, another thing that our camp had or didn't have that all these other camps
Nazis.
Had loud
integrated
speakers.
Nazis, Nazis.
What?
Loudspeakers.
You know, making announcements.
You could hear people, not just our...
We didn't have that.
Our
scratchy...
You
know,
our record was so bad. Do you remember
right.
our bugle call
yeah,
record?
It was the worst.
But it was the camp. You didn't have announcements like Sam, go here, or whatever it is.
When
you know,
I got to those...
That was one of the
Tyler
unique
Hill,
things about our camp.
I
it was no communication.
I liked that. I thought these camps were a little too... pretty and
prissy.
Like, I like that we didn't do all that shit. I thought it was
right.
cool that we
it's, exactly.
the sucker down.
Did you guys consider, like, if you thought about who our main rival was it Tyler? To me, it was Tyler Hill.
Tyler Hill. Because of the proximity. The proximity.
It,
we were 25 miles away.
Tyler Hill.
Tyler Hill, definitely.
Tyler Hill and Equinoc.
And Equinoc. There were the two.
But I thought, really I always felt like Equinoc was more like us than Tyler Hill was. Tyler Hill was a rival because they seemed so
boys,
different.
Girls.
Yeah, right.
Equinoc was more like Swago. Tyler Hill was... Nazis.
Right.
When I looked at camps for birth, I didn't really even consider Tyler Hill. We went to Equinoc. He didn't like it.
Well, my friend
reason,
was considering sending his son to Tyler Hill at one point, and
talk
I said,
out of it.
I said, he won't be friends anymore if you send your kid there.
Be over.
I said, they're a bunch of Nazis.
I used to like that their t-shirts were THC, though. I thought that was kind of
you were way out of the curve at that point.
I was like, yo, Tyler Hill, you got it going on.
I wasn't thinking about that.
They didn't smoke drugs at Tyler Hill.
No. It had no meaning. Well, the rumor was, right, if they lost into camp, they didn't get dinner.
Yeah, that's not a rumor.
That's not a rumor. That's true. They starve the kids.
You think that
I think it's rumor.
They were good at softball. They weren't good basketball players.
No, they couldn't go left.
And
I feel like
they never got anywhere in any of the tournaments. I mean,
they didn't. They never won.
No, I don't
the big
Tyler
tournaments
ever
were Kiyuma and Iron Lake.
Iron Lake.
There used to be a camp Iron
Lake. What was that? Was that the
that used
track
to be like
field
the
tournament?
No, that
was
used
well,
Quake.
Track
Quake
was
track
and field.
Well, Quake was. That became something.
Track
years,
field.
Yeah.
It actually became a place where you would steal other people's stuff, though.
But wait, go back to Iron Lake.
Iron Lake was
that.
The under-14 basketball
right,
tournament.
Right, I remember
so
that.
Before Kiyuma
where we
took
won.
It over.
That's what we won?
No, we won
I feel
Kiyuma.
Like I remember Iron Lake.
By then, Iron Lake was out of the game, and you might have played in some Iron Lake, but...
The under-12.
Under 8 who prevailed.
With Rocky, Jim, Polis, and 5.
That was a good group, though, with Rocky and Timmy and those guys. Because they were like good athletes and they were really young. Yeah.
You like young boys, huh?
I love them.
Good for you.
Polar bear. Do you still live in the same place you grew up in? You're still in Brooklyn, right? Are you like not in the same house per se, but are you in the same neck?
Same area, yeah.
And who did you marry? Like, who are you married to?
A woman. I married a woman.
We want to be clear. Otherwise,
no. Her name is Robin. No, I met her.
Where'd you meet her?
In the world.
You can't tell me your story. Where is
we were sort of set up on a date.
By who? A friend? Like, what was the...
No, it was an ad, actually.
Oh, you were on a different...
This is prematch.com. Moose is doing it. Very prematch.com.
You were on Village Voice.
New York Magazine, actually.
Sweet.
All right.
Great. So that's where you met your wife.
I met her. I needed a date
Who posted the ad? You posted the ad or she did?
You both did.
Oh, I see. It was a mutual thing?
Right. And you used to receive letters
this is great.
From the people.
This like physical letters?
Physical
how
letters.
How else did you get a
people
telegram.
Actually put pen to paper back in the day. This was pre-computers.
How long have you been married?
We'll be married 25 years right. come November.
All right.
Awesome.
All
nice.
Right.
That's
great.
And I needed a date. A friend of mine, his father was having a testimonial dinner.
Okay. What is that? By the way, what is that? What is
he was being
dinner?
Honored.
Okay.
Somebody's going to say something.
Like,
nice
okay,
about
what is that?
Yeah, then they chopped his testicles off. He was being honored, and so my friend had bought a table, invited us, and
that was it.
That was our first date.
And right. Just went from there.
And then it
boom
just went from there. She went to a camp called Tranquility.
Oh my
which gosh! Which almost stopped the relationship.
That should have been. That's dead. Right. That's not Indian, is it?
Tranquility. That's too literal.
Yeah. But I think that camp is still open. So go figure.
Yeah, exactly.
Very peaceful place,
as it should be.
And happily married.
Nice. Good for you. Good for you.
Excellent.
But,
yes.
Let's get back to Swago.
Yes.
Are we done?
No.
Can you ever be done? We have many more episodes.
We're never done.
We're close to done.
Really, this might be a two-parter.
You're always welcome back, by the way.
Absolutely.
But I had called Ed to tell him to come, but he had something to do.
I like that the phone-in thing actually worked, that you were able to hold up the speaker to the mic.
So next episode,
next,
why don't you in?
Next episode, you should have a phone-in.
We should bring the both of you
we
guys
in. We
have
to figure
there.
Out how to put
but,
this mixer.
Well, Ed, props to Ed, because Ed's the one guy, like, I had no dealings with him whatsoever at Swago, and then when we had the 99 website and we got the basketball team thing together.
That's
like,
when I got to know him best.
Yeah, me too. And I was like, oh, this is... That's when I sort of realized, like, wow, Swago's this shared culture thing. Like, here's a guy
exactly.
who I never knew, but he's the same as me. And, you know,
he's
can totally hit it off.
That's the thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know...
Doesn't matter what
years you went...
It molds you into this kind of person.
You fit with other Swago people.
Yeah.
And
you know,
see, you know,
unless you're totally...
right, then we...
Those people somehow have a way of being weeded out anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, but
they don't,
if you
they don't
were
make
into Swago and you enjoyed it, you could be sitting with any Swagoites.
And here we are, I'm 48, I don't know, you're older than me, obviously. Howie's my best friend, we hang out constantly. You and Ed are obviously still really close friends.
He's your best friend, right?
Well,
one of them.
Let's not put him on the spot.
You were asking about his marriage to his wife. I think.
Ed is my third longest relationship.
All
right. Since the summer of 1968, we've been friends.
No.
Other than your parents?
And my wife, yeah.
He's the fifth longest relationship.
Well, family, if you
right,
want to count
course,
them. My wife and Ed.
That's how I feel about how we've been friends since 12. And
Ed and I spent 20... Let's see, 10 years in camp, so that's 20 months, plus we went to college our freshman year together.
You guys went to, where'd you go to college?
George Washington.
I didn't, and who left?
Oh, you
both
went, you,
did,
you
actually.
Went, you went to college with Ed?
First year?
Oh,
wow.
On purpose, or just coincidentally you ended up there?
Well, coincidentally, but we both went to the same college our counselor went to, so.
They're keeping it real.
Who was your counselor?
Roy Herman.
Oh, Roy Herman, right.
So,
right.
So go figure. But
that was going, well, you're probably influenced, obviously.
So Ed and I have practically lived together for 3 years.
Did you live together freshman year in college?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But, you know, so
right,
we
so
have
close.
Been friends practically forever.
Well, I think there's a lot of that. I think there's a lot of Oswego guys whose best friend or one of their best friends. There's another Oswego guy who fits that role.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
well, a lot of them lived in the same towns also, so.
I don't know about that. I mean, because I live with the Roslyn guys. Like,
but that's
we,
not a group.
We were a bunk. Like, we you know, from my Eagles days.
Who was that? Feldman.
Feldman,
Jacobson,
Larry Jacobson. Interesting person.
Michael, well, they were.
Schnapp was there for a couple of years.
Boog.
And then we had a Carrie Diamond, Alan Friedman. We had a couple of guys.
Boog
who
was
like,
one of your boyhood friends?
Boog?
Yeah,
Boog is, I love Boog, yeah.
One of my favorite Swagolites ever.
He's a great, great guy.
Have you seen him? Like, I know
I saw him last August. It was the first time I've seen him in 20 years, but we had a little bunk reunion at my house.
Right, I
Jake,
could make that.
Well, that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, it was great. We had Jake Boog, Feldman, and Schnapp, and Moss, actually, all came to my house, and it was a great day. And we picked it up where we left off. There was one
you
point
should have Moss
it.
On.
I'd love
get to. Get him to drive down.
Yeah, right.
I know, I know. But no, well, you know, May. It may.
You may.
We'll drive up to him.
Still? It's up in Middletown, New York.
Somewhere up. No, he's closer to camp.
Is he on Facebook?
He's on.
Where
I don't
he?
Think so.
No.
He's on Route 17.
Which is an alternative.
I'm sorry, he's on Route 17B.
B.
If you want to stop by to see him.
Right
Ellenville, I think, right?
Where you can buy
right
your
past,
firewood.
He's right past the White Lake the movie theater.
Right.
Which is now a kosher grocery store.
All right.
Well,
he's the same, though. I saw him last August. He's exactly as you remember him.
There was a recent article about who posted about Mark Ruffalo lives in
Calico,
New York.
Yeah.
It's his place.
It's a happening place.
Apparently, it's changed quite a bit since we've been there.
Did he buy? What, was there something about him buying the? Did he buy the that sort of grain tower? What was that thing called?
I'm not sure.
No. It was referenced in the article.
I just read the
paragraph. That has to be a
national
monument.
All right.
Monument.
Yeah. I would imagine.
You know what? We also noticed, like, up as you go on 17 North, no, 97 rather. Past Calicoon, there's like this monastery there or something.
Yeah,
there always was.
What the fuck was that? Like,
yeah, we're not
were there
quite
nuns
sure.
and priests there? I don't recall them ever
monks.
Showing up around the Calicoon area.
How often did you go into Calicoon?
We had
just
to.
For the canoe trip
or the movies. You go there for the movies.
We went to the movies every.
The
now
movie
and then.
Theater was.
We would
good.
Do the hike to Calicoon.
You'd bowl
you know,
there.
They used
chance.
To have a bowling alley.
Still do, I think.
I don't. Well, on 97, there's a bowling
yeah.
alley, but I don't think it's open anymore. We passed it.
No, the
see
keep
it
on. I remember the keep on trucking guy.
Yeah, I don't think that's open anymore.
All right.
Well,
really? Because I think
yeah, we never went the other way.
No,
because like Honesdale.
Yeah.
No.
We went to Calicoon and
Galilee.
That
David,
was it.
There
David
was
Allen
a quick walk to Galilee and then a longer walk to Calicoon if you were up
right.
for up for it. You know, which.
It was very triumphant to do the hike to Calicoon.
It really was
yeah,
like
the
6 miles.
Far.
It was a 6 mile hike, and it wasn't.
The hike
hard.
To Calicoon was a big deal.
It was. It was six miles.
2 miles. That was nothing for like the one store with that guy who was like on a 90-degree angle.
Oh,
hunched over
bad
guy.
Scoliosis on that.
Remember
dude.
That guy? Was
yeah.
that, don't you remember? No.
The old man. Yeah.
The old man.
The old man. The old man in the Galilee store.
The
you buy those like root beer,
the
those root beer
time,
sticks.
Yeah.
Those sort of like yeah, that's what I would buy at least.
There were those
yeah, but
those
it,
fly
it was
fly strips hanging. With
yes,
the fly
yeah, fly stuck on.
Yeah.
The fly
it, it's
was
funny.
Cool.
It was probably before your time, but there used to be this girl in in Galilee.
It was like a farmer's daughter thing. I mean.
Totally. You know, it was like, and she knew it, and she loved teasing everyone. You know, but
she wear like low cut tops with her.
Well, whatever girls
do tease
in the middle of
in
nowhere
1974.
In those days. But you know, she was a typical farmer's daughter. Probably had no teeth. You know, looking back on
but
it,
attractive nonetheless.
But for Galilee, she was number one of the 12 people.
Next to the old man in the flypaper, she's looking pretty good.
You know, she was the shiksa in the crowd, so to speak.
Well, there were no Jews, so there were all shiksas in the crowd.
Exactly. You know, but Galilee was a cool place to go to.
I just like that it was named Galilee.
I
like
think
that
the whole
this town
is for sale now.
Yeah, David Allen
right.
posted something about that. You could buy the store and the whole like town center.
How much?
I think it's like
80,000,
yeah,
maybe
it was
less.
It's pretty cheap.
Rich.
And some
it's a little rich for a corner.
Yeah, but you got like 5 acres of land with it.
No, you get some land. I think it's all about the land. And then you got to knock down whatever there. So.
You know, Howie,
but there's nothing there, unfortunately.
We inquired Howie and the guys that we sort of go back up to Swago with about buying. We went to Sheldon. We went and tried to buy half of Swago. And he actually said, I would sell it to you, but you can't
can't get rid of
any of the bumps until I die. So I'm like, well, I don't know if this is such a good deal. But I'm not sure why I segued there, but how awesome would it have been if, like, we weren't looking to make a camp, we were just looking to...
But listen, I posted on Facebook some time ago, like, if you can make a senior living facility now there, and, like, I'll sign up now. Put me in, like, when I'm 78 and I can't, you know, I need some help. Like, all right, roll me on in.
I don't know when the last time you guys were up there. I haven't been up there in, like, 2 or 3 years now.
We go up... I heard he burned it down. We go up every year, and I heard that he finally... So some guy...
I think there's not much left.
Some guy, a local Pennsylvania guy who's, I think, in the deconstructing business of knocking
it down. Oh, that's
the guy
who bought it.
Bought it all. And I think he finally burnt it down, and there's no more bunks, is what I heard.
They're nice. I've spoken to them. They're nice people.
I'm sure they are. You know.
And they built or rebuilt some of the bunks over at Swatoner.
To what end?
Like just turn them into houses. They hang out there. They go hunting.
Right. That's what
we do. They're hunters.
We get up there every year and we try and go by
but
there.
Mary Lupo, who lives across down
she's
the road
just from
there.
Facebook, apparently.
She's great.
Right.
Yeah, I've never heard of her before that.
No, that's where she's from.
But
yeah,
no,
that's
Lupo,
how we know
nobody
her
knew about the Lupos prior to Facebook.
Right. That's
right.
How
okay.
we all
okay.
know who she is now. What did they call it? The Lodge. Mm-hmm. She said they finally knocked down.
The Lodge, which was
like...
What was that one? Which
by the golf course?
That was the one that... By the shooting range, by the golf course, where we
right,
drank...
Right, the shooting range.
Where I believe that we drank the Southern Comfort.
Okay.
I think I took riflery once
as a club when I was a cadet.
That was a good
question. So they had like 9-year-old kids shooting guns.
Were those bullets that could kill people?
No, they were BBs. It was BBs.
No, they were 22s.
What?
They were real
bullets.
I remember
BBs. They would have been called the BB range. It was bullets.
No,
I remember.
They weren't even called the BB range.
Fine, but there were those little.
I think they were real bullets.
They were BBs. I took riflery. I thought it was BBs, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe they changed it after the incident, but
after the murder. The murder.
But
awesome.
So it was interesting taking riflery when you were 9.
Yeah.
Or 10, they were giving you guns to shoot. But that was camp.
That was
the magic, the majesty of
did
camp.
Anyone
that
ever
was beauty
actually,
of choosing a
did
club.
Did anyone, to your knowledge in the years you were there, ever actually play the golf course?
Yes.
Really?
We used to play it all the time.
I remember it just being like an elective, like right after.
Wasn't
you
that?
Know.
It was the steal the flag field.
Yeah, and
part.
It turned into a steal the flag field.
They're actually they used
capture
they,
the flag. I'm sorry.
They did play golf there. It wasn't big. Obviously,
right.
We weren't a big golf camp.
We didn't turn out a lot.
Puma
of
under 16 golf tourney.
You know, we were kind of the.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay.
We don't have a producer, so I have to speak to Howie when I want to do it. Howie, we're going to pause for one moment. Okay, sorry, I have to just take a break for a second.
That's fine.
Exactly. So fucking...
Oh, we're on, man.
We've been on the whole time?
Yeah, I guess I can edit out.
I hope you do. I don't really need to hear us chewing on our pizza. So we're back. We're back. What were you just...
On the ski slope.
We are. This is my version, my little... version of the ski slope. It's comfortable, but it's not the ski slope.
There was nothing like hanging out on the ski slope.
It was.
Was that
night.
Always, by the way? Like when I was in the early 70s, was that where you guys were hanging
we
out?
We used to hang out there every night.
So once you became
the,
like
the
a,
big thing used to be hitting rocks.
Right, throwing rocks in the tree.
Well, no, you were talking about golf. The big thing we had was hitting rocks into the
lake.
With a bat or with a golf club.
We had to throw the rock and hit the tree.
Yeah,
and that was
there
a big competition.
Yeah, that was our...
It was a very
that.
Hacky sackish sort of peaceful endeavor.
All right, well, some things change in time.
We mellowed
kids
out a little.
Kids do change.
That entertained us.
But we used to... The ski slope used to be the place to hang out after...
After anything,
but mainly the way it used to work was you had dinner.
Right.
Dinner ended. Then it was free play.
Right.
How great was that?
A little better
play.
Than rest
very,
hour.
Very democratic. They don't have free play in Egypt, do they?
No.
But, you know, so, well, free play used to be the best basketball. was played during free play because you had counselors coming down from like the younger groups who wanted to play.
Right.
The waiters would finish up cleaning. They would come and play. You know, the older kids. So you'd have some good games,
and you'd jump in the lake and go hang out.
Then you'd jump in the lake or shower,
or whatever you wanted to do.
And then you'd hang out on the ski slope for like the next 2 hours or an hour or whatever.
I remember
it
more as like a late night thing.
I remember
like it like a 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock.
Moose was saying,
no, it was more twilighty.
I remember twilight
for us.
A dusky.
I remember being very group at twilight. And then,
as you saw the sunset,
it would be smaller.
More intimate.
Smaller groups, yeah.
And then you'd walk to the canteen, hang out there, or whatever the evening activity might have been. My personal favorite were movies. I like the movies in the social hall.
Yeah.
Sunshine Makers, remember them?
No.
They were like the Rainy Day cartoon.
Oh, no, I don't.
No,
no, I don't remember that at all.
It's on YouTube.
Nor do I.
Really?
But, you know, the fact that they showed the same movies year after year, because they've never put a new movie.
Do you remember any of them?
They didn't have Netflix.
What were some of them? No, I don't remember them.
I don't remember
them.
Any of them.
I remember Marx Brothers.
Yeah, there were some Marx Brothers. I just remember hanging out in the social hall,
with
blanket
pillow,
and a pillow, you know, taking a pillow from a younger kid and using their pillow.
I remember one year I was really envious because Klausner lived in the social hall, so he took his bed out from behind the social hall and moved it to the actual social hall and watched the movie on his bed.
I was freaked out.
That was Bobby Klausner, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, in case there's any confusion. Is there another Klausner that we know?
Do you speak with Bobby Klausner at this point in time?
No. He was younger than us. He was a year behind us.
He was like a couple ahead
and,
of us.
And
he was from the Reuben Birnbaum.
He's a nice... No, actually, he was older than Reuben Birnbaum.
Right.
He was 1 year older.
Reuben Birnbaum was another one of my favorite Swago campers of all time.
He disappeared, though, after Swago. No, I've never seen him at
any never heard from him
at anything.
No, he lives on Long Island, but he hasn't come to anything yet.
Yet.
Perhaps after hearing this radio broadcast, he will.
Right,
an appeal to him.
I think you announced him as a possible guest like on the first broadcast.
Reuben
Birnbaum. Like, we're going to get Reuben Birnbaum on. I haven't seen the guy in 40 years.
He's on Facebook, so you can get in touch with him. His email is readily available.
Little do we know. We'll
so you can contact him.
I'm not sure we will, but it's good to know.
Just in case.
he was a good kid.
Good basketball player.
Good point guard.
He gets my thumbs up.
Right. Nice. Did most kids get your thumbs up? Any kids that you remember just like not fucking liking and didn't want to be around?
No.
That's how I feel.
No.
I really can't go through and tell you anyone I like. Oh, I hated that guy. Who did you hate?
No, not me.
You didn't really hate anyone. You knew some kids were schmucks.
You know, like the kid who would come up from Venezuela, Miguel Como, what was his name? Miguel.
Yeah, that was more, I feel guilty
he's
about
got
that.
After,
yeah.
A kid came from Venezuela?
I took advantage of the guy. Yeah, the guy didn't speak any English. We didn't speak Spanish all that well.
There are
a few
things you do need to survive.
And in English is a language.
Working English is one of them.
Who do you think, in all your years, who would you point to as the best basketball player through your years that you saw play?
Did I say Alan Pearlstein?
The best basketball player.
I definitely expected to be.
A lot of people say it was Neil Martyr, a kid named Neil Martyr.
Wow, I don't remember him.
I never heard of
him. Scored... 88 points in a league game once.
Really? 88 points? What was the score?
He was a good basketball player. Roy Herman.
I remember Roy Herman
was
being the top
excellent.
Player.
Didn't know, but I heard he was good.
Neil was not as
Roy,
good.
Roy kind of
sorry, Neil, you're better.
Was his best agent.
What about Jeff Schechter?
Jeff Schechter was
younger. He was
younger
than you. Like,
younger,
he was older than us.
He didn't even get to senior year.
No, he didn't. He left.
He left camp.
But
so
he was like,
he
started
Peoria
as an inter.
You can't be considered if you left camp early.
He did make it to the reunion, though.
He did.
Yeah, but he was a good ball player.
Yeah, he was good.
We actually played with him after camp.
What does that mean?
Some pickup
like
camp?
Like in the 90s.
One of the few reunions we
I think after the camp closed in the 90s. A bunch of us used to go up there every summer. And I think you guys met us up
there.
There's
some pictures
one summer.
One summer of us playing ball in the outdoor court.
And we played out on the outdoor court in Calicoon, I think we played. there were like 30 people, and we were staying. We used to stay at Kutch's. A couple of summers, we stayed at the hotel off of 17.
The Fosterdale Motel.
No, the Best Western.
I stayed at the Fosterdale Motel.
The Fosterdale Motel. There was. It's right in Monticello. Then we stayed at the Villa Roma one year.
Wow. Living it up.
That was a very funny year. We stayed there, and who was entertaining? What was his name? This old black comedian. I can't think of his name. Ed would probably remember it. Ed remembers everything.
I'm thinking of
Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell. I was going to say Nipsey, and I didn't. I was going to go, no, it can't be Nipsey.
It was Nipsey Russell.
It's going to be George Wallace.
And he was hilarious.
He was the first rapper.
If you got Moose at the podcast.
He was sitting, he was sitting with us at dinner one night and just insulting all
Moose,
of us.
Moose, Ed, and Nipsey.
No, it was more than me and Ed. There were a ton of people there. And very funny. He was just the dirtiest jokes ever.
Really?
Wasn't he the guy that rhymed?
Yeah, yeah.
Your wine looks fine and you're doing rhymes.
He might have rhymed.
They were bad rhymes, too.
Bad,
but he was the first guy
too
to rhyme stuff.
He might have rhymed, but...
He's the godfather of hip-hop.
He was sitting with us and just telling the fucking dirtiest jokes ever. And all hilarious. I mean, we were rolling.
Better than Mr. G's dirty jokes.
Yeah, you understood it. As good as
Mr. G freaked me out, though, because I wasn't expecting it from Mr. G, and all of a sudden he's talking about it tastes
like
fish,
like,
and I'm like, Mr. G,
it's like,
dude, I buy Gobstoppers from you, man.
Right, it's like Jesus telling you dirty jokes.
Exactly.
Mr. G tells you a joke. You know, but to this day, I equate a frozen Milky Way with camp.
I do too.
Because of the canteen.
I create a milkshake with camp.
Scooter pies, which I don't buy anymore. But I equate them with camp.
Right. Do they even sell them?
I don't think so. I always hated them.
I
wasn't
scooter
big on
pies.
Scooter pies. Really?
Yeah, that was a big camp.
It sucked, man. It was always stale. That cakey part always tasted
stale. Of course
they
were stale.
Your
parents,
they stored them in
or maybe my camp owner did.
They stored them in a drawer and it was humid and they...
So it was. It was actually stale. It wasn't scooter pie. It was just the scooter pie was stale.
The best thing about being a waiter, I don't know,
as opposed to a kitchen boy.
You smoke pot all day and that's all you can do?
Yo.
Nobody bothered you?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Pretty much.
Well, right? I wasn't. That was one of the things. You know, but it was actually...
You worked for 2 hours and just did whatever the fuck you wanted to do?
Exactly. It was one of the best summers ever.
It was.
You waited, you had no one telling you what to do.
No counselor that
right.
Month.
You basically, all you had to do was show up to serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
It wasn't like you were taking orders. You just had to lay the slop down,
right.
Whatever it was.
Although I thought...
Excuse me, young man, what would you like today?
Although I thought I would take the seniors on, because I'll be there. Wait, I'm friends with these guys. They'll treat
they
me nicely. Holy
time,
shit, did that suck.
I was a senior waiter.
Oh, right?
I came a couple weeks
those
late.
Those guys...
Russ Gortz, man.
It all depends on how you treat them.
I got no tips.
They all...
None.
You weren't supposed to get
everybody
tips as a waiter.
What does that mean? What could they actually do? They like left messy plates? What could they really
order
do?
A lot of peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, jeez. That's hellish. What do you have to bring out?
It was.
Jelly and some bread.
Nobody eat the main course.
The can of peanut butter?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they were in those little, like, those urine cups.
Yeah, those little cups. The plasticky, papery.
A lot classier then.
They would let you come right out of the.
I was the waiter for, I think, the seniors. And I think I had 2 senior bunks and 2 inter bunks. And I'll tell you a story. Another reason why Dave thought so highly of me. I was the waiter for the 2 winters and 2 seniors. So it was getting to the time of visiting day. And Dave told all the waiters, he said, listen, you're not getting any tips. Don't ask for tips from the kids, from their parents, whatever it was. And you have to make the box lunches. So
we never had to do that.
I think we did.
Really?
So everyone was pissed off. You know, and quite frankly, I wasn't pissed off.
Right.
Because I knew I was getting tips from all of them already. Because I told them, you're
giving
me tips. You know, I don't care. You're giving me tips or I'm not going to serve you dinner.
You wrecked the fucking boy.
And so the night before visiting day. The kitchen boys.
Nice name.
Right.
Let's not correct that, by the way.
Well, no, they weren't white guys. They weren't.
There were a couple of black guys.
They were all black.
They were all black.
Oh, maybe by the time you were.
They were all black guys.
But when we were.
And kitchen boys just.
When we were waiters, they were white guys.
Yeah, white guys. Coach Nasks. They were like. Didn't Coach
They
Nask
were Coach Nask boys,
yeah. Yeah.
So.
Really?
Everyone went on strike because they wanted extra money.
White, black guys.
For making up the. Those delicious box lunches with that piece of fried chicken.
One wing of fried chicken. That was
the hard nectarine.
A scooter pie and an apple.
Right, and that hard roll or whatever it was. Biscuit, whatever they gave you.
I did not look forward to that meal, I remember.
So everyone said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. So the waiters and the kitchen boys went out on strike.
Again, strike. Picking up on Krause's lead from a year ago.
So Dave being
Dave,
the smart guy that he was, because he was a smart guy. He says, all right, you waiters don't want to do it. You know, I'm cutting what I'm paying you by like $20.
So you're,
and
you're,
I think
you're
we got
bucks
like
a year,
$100,
right?
Whatever it was.
Hardcore shit.
And he told the kitchen boys, he said, I'm going to give each of you $80 more to do it. So that ended the strike. Right there.
Kitchen boys.
And he tells us,
the
waiters, he says, I don't care. You can leave if you want. Take the train to Monticello. That's what he said.
They didn't negotiate with strikers.
He was
so.
I like that.
After he destroyed the strike, you know, had the Pinkertons come in to bash the
great
coal miners over the head, the momentous strike, Sway goes one stab at
unionized labor.
And labor.
The NLRB
labor.
Got involved at some point.
The kitchen boys were scabs.
Yeah.
You fucks.
It was pretty disgusting at the time.
They were apparently not part of
he
the
calls
union.
Ed
hey,
and
kitchen
I,
boy, don't disrespect me.
He calls Ed and I into his. We were in his living room.
Oh.
In the castle.
Right.
And he says to me, points directly at me and says, I know you were the brains behind this.
You communist.
And I said, Dave, you happen to be totally wrong this time. I said, I had nothing to do with this. I said, I already threatened everyone who I'm serving to give me tips. They were giving me tips.
I'm a capitalist, Dave.
It's the other waiters who are going to go on strike.
Or smart enough.
I was actually talking against the strike. You must know.
Did he buy
that
it?
Probably
Did
the only strike. I don't
didn't, he didn't buy it. He just said to like me, and get the hell out of here, the two of you. You know, and I think we were watching TV, because he had the only TV in camp there. You know, and an air conditioner, I believe. So Ed and I were like sitting there and enjoying the TV.
Dave, let's talk about this a little
more. I don't feel like Howie and I, definitely not Howie, because that was the last years. I don't think like we saw, Dave was never in his
peak,
heyday.
His peak.
When we were there. Maybe when 72, 73 when I was there, but I was so young. By the time he was older,
I think
Dave,
even when we were,
Dave.
He was like,
we were like seniors.
He was slowing down.
He was
right?
Probably already in his 70s,
yeah.
I guess.
Like there was a point where he was in a driving around a golf cart at some point.
Yeah.
You probably weren't there yet. It was like,
I heard about
it. Even before
that,
I remember there was this thing where he would sort of, remember he'd get up at bat on Diamond One.
He used to do that.
It'd be like, I don't know if it was visiting day. It was
pretty good sweat.
Right, and he would hit the ball and be like, all right, you know.
It's too bad because he was like awesome while he owned it in his heyday.
He must have been.
Probably.
He must have been.
And it would have been great for it to be passed on. It's too bad the Brody kids didn't have any interest. It's too bad, you know.
Well, his son did, and his son is a law professor or something, you know. So I guess he felt he didn't have family to pass it on to.
Yeah.
And, you know, ego, whatever it might have been, prevented him from selling it to people who could have kept his legacy going.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but... Such is life,
such
as they
life.
Say.
Done is
moves
done.
On.
Blumstein's
on.
Dead. The
is
camp
Reed,
is dead.
Is Rita still alive?
Rita's dead.
Rita's she
dead.
Died like shortly after 9/11, I remember.
Wow, a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
The Twin Towers fell, yeah.
How memorable, though, was... Like, the Friday night service just sticks in my service. It was four
well,
minutes.
That's
ten
Alan's,
minutes.
Like, linked...
Whatever
to
it was.
That's my
it
most
was
Jewish
unique.
Moment.
And it was one of those things
that... It was 10 minutes.
You know, it brought the camp together no matter what.
It was 7 minutes of people moving their chair.
What was that prayer, though? Like, it was such
a real prayer.
It was, it was a modified prayer, though. It was a come, let us welcome the Sabbath lights.
She kindled the capers. Oh, the
capers.
The
capers.
The capers.
The anchovies.
And, you know, it was nice. She was like the camp mom.
Yeah, it was cool. Friday night service was cool.
You know, it was... Look, it was something. It brought... Whatever, whether you hated it, loved it, whatever.
No, it made it stand out.
It had something. You had something. You knew it was going
to
happen,
and you had to honor it. I remember
so
you couldn't move your chair.
Right.
It was like you had to be quiet.
Right. You had to be quiet. But she did know.
But you did move your chair. That was the whole thing. Make your chair move. Just to
of course.
That was.
But what she didn't know was that the waiters, her waiters, and you know, the waiter who served Dave and Rita was the head waiter.
Right.
They used to wet the wicks.
So
to make it harder to light it.
Wasn't aware of that.
Nice. That's a nice move, though.
Well, now you know.
All right. All right.
Well, you know, maybe, you know, Moose, you've been a fantastic guest. I don't know. We've been going at this for quite some time.
An hour and 40, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, listen. You want to promote your new movie?
For those of you...
I have a book coming out this fall.
For those of you that have made it an hour and 40 through this,
we don't know who you are. We don't have that kind of like a Google.
But we would like to, you know, we don't want to overdo this, so we'd like to thank Moose. He's been an awesome first guest.
And thanks for having me once again. And don't forget my book coming out in September.
It's called Moose.
It's called Moose.
The Southern Comfort Years. All right, well.
I have been saving some stories for the book. You'll have to buy it.
All right. Well, you're teased. You're all teased now.
Well,
so go out. It's on Amazon, right?
But thanks for having me, guys.
Episode 2 of the Ski Slope.
You're making yourself Swago legends.
We love that.
Swago legends.
Well, we appreciate
this
coming
Ski
from
Slope
you.
Will live forever.
That's our goal, to pass it on. We're glad you could be here. So we're out. Thanks again to Moose. Mwah. Great show. We'll see you on episode 3. It's coming soon.
Later.
Peace out.
Bye.